Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 17th. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Well, it was kind of overcast this morning, huh? But it's sunny now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Another summer day.
Yep.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
How are you?
You've been keeping busy and everything?
Always.
Yeah? That's cool.
Yeah.
You never told us what you did on Valentine's Day. So, but you were just hanging out with friends and stuff?
Yep, I was with friends. We went to see Whiplash. I've seen it now twice.
Really?
And then
is
we
it
went.
Good?
Yeah, really good. Then we went out for sushi.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Where do you eat sushi?
Well, we went to Volcano that night just because it was open until 2 a.m. And
yeah.
We got out from the movie and we're hungry. So.
Yeah, I know. In LA, it's hard to find places open at that time.
Yep. And that place was open right next to the movie theater, so that's where we went.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. A place would be open that late, huh, for food.
Yeah, I think they are known for being open really late.
Really?
So we were happy they were there.
Yeah, good for them. You see, they capture all the business that other people miss out on.
Definitely.
Yeah. And, yeah. So we talked about 50 Shades, right, yesterday?
Yep.
Okay, so never mind that. It's just that, you know, I posted about the fact that nobody says anything about it, you know? It's like, or at least on Facebook, at least my friends on Facebook, I haven't seen even one post about the movie.
Oh, I've seen a bunch.
Really?
And a bunch of people sharing articles written by other people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, maybe I'm not in the right crowd or something, but... But they're not talking about it. And I thought, you know, it seems like everybody's seen it. You know, how come there's not like a big discussion about it and stuff? But it's funny because I guess there's the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, I guess, admitted that he went to see it. And there's a backlash because he's a religious person, I guess. So people are like, you know, we can't believe you went to see this movie, blah, blah, blah. You know,
isn't the whole point of being religious that you're also not supposed to be judgmental?
You should be tolerant, I think.
Right.
You know, but no, that doesn't work like that. There's not much logic in religion. That's unfortunate, you know. It's about faith. It's not about anything else.
It's also a personal thing. I don't know why everyone has to weigh in on everybody else's life.
I know. Well, people, you know, when someone's in the public eye, that's the price they pay.
Yep.
You know. But I'm definitely happy for Lady Gaga, who got engaged.
Me too.
Are you?
Well.
She looks great these days, huh?
I'm happy when anyone gets engaged.
Yeah.
I actually ran into a friend last night who told us that he got engaged.
Oh, wow.
And he had only been dating his girlfriend for 5 months. And
are you serious?
Right before they met, I think he was telling me he was on Tinder and everything. So how it happened so quickly, I'll never know.
Yeah.
But I'm usually happy for love, so.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga, though, strikes me as an odd one for the guy she's with, because he seems so normal. But then again,
right.
I think her whole shtick is a shtick.
Right, exactly. I mean, look, I'm looking at a picture of both of them. She's got blonde hair. She has no weird anything on her face.
She's not wearing meat?
No, not wearing meat. She's got nice jewelry, and she looks like just a normal, straight person. She doesn't look like Lady Gaga.
Right.
You know, whom we're used to wearing all kinds of weird things
right.
and stuff, you know.
I'm sure behind closed doors, they're probably pretty normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know. Like you said, it's a shtick. They put on a show.
Right.
They're performers. And but the guy's pretty pretty handsome, huh? Do you know him?
I think he's from Chicago Fire or one of those shows.
Chicago Fire, let's see.
Some procedural show.
Oh, okay. No, it doesn't say so here, so I don't know. But, yeah. Okay, well, whatever. She got a nice... A ring shaped like a heart.
Yeah, she was proposed to
like
on Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Which is so not my thing. If somebody's going to propose to me, please pick a different day.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Facebook was, you know, blowing up with Valentine's Day engagements.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You see, that's what I mean. And then kids are born in December.
Right. Voila. Case in point. Me.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody's busy, right?
Yep. Well, congrats to the happy couple.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we have a couple of great guests in the studio. We're going to join. They're going to join us, and they brought some music also as well. Did you see the Cindy Crawford picture?
I haven't, but I read about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, you'll understand why they're writing about it. She's totally wrinkled. You can see it on CNN.com. She's totally wrinkled. You can tell there's a lot of sun damage. Saggy, you know, flabby. I mean, you would never expect Cindy Crawford to look like this at 48, you know. And so they're saying it's a picture that has been done unretouched.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you have to give it to her as far as being brave enough to show this.
Yeah.
But it's not...
I mean, at some point, she's got to be a real person.
Right.
Like, her career as a supermodel, I think, has, you know, come and gone.
It's over.
Now she's a mother of however many and a human. So I think it's time she can just, like, live her life.
Right. And show people, you know, look, you know, that's what happens to us.
And also, if she gives the idea that she's 48 and perfect, nobody can live up to that expectation.
Yeah, but why would she care? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because I think now, you know, people want to be a good role model. And it's more important to come out as a good role model than it is as a perfect human.
Mm. I don't know about that, but okay. I mean, it makes sense. But I don't know. I wouldn't show myself like that. Especially after the world has gotten accustomed to seeing her in a certain way. You know. I mean, the thing is, aging sucks. We all know that. You know. And everybody starts looking like that. But I don't know. At 48, I would think she wouldn't look like this. But, you know, what can I say? It's not a complimentary picture, that's for sure.
Right.
But when you see it, you can tell me what you think about it.
But people are praising her for doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, you know, because it takes guts to do it. But I don't know why people are. Well, I guess because they admire when people come out.
Right. And, it's the meaning behind it.
Yeah, I guess.
Not that she's imperfect.
Yeah.
I know you're a guy and you like visual things. So.
We do indeed.
I'm more impressed by her willingness to say I'm not perfect.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm totally impressed with that. There's nothing to... But, you know, we also should call it the way it is. You know?
It's a wrinkle. Everyone has them.
Right. Okay. I just don't think it looks good. But then again, you know, who am I to talk, right? 54 years old. But I'm in better shape than that. And I don't work out. But, you know, what can I say? You know, I think it's a lot of sun damage.
Probably. I mean, if anyone has a way to, like, reverse some sun damage, I'm sure it's her. So
yeah.
She's also had kids and you know.
Oh, she's had kids, too?
Several.
Has kids? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Aren't you looking forward to getting older?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wait till you hit middle age, man.
So just got to take care of yourself and do the best you can.
That's true. And make sure that that you're prepared. Yeah, mentally for it. It's not easy. And as you get older, it gets harder. Let me tell you, man. I'm seeing my parents. It's no fun.
Are they okay back in Israel?
Yeah, I guess they are. But, you know, I mean, I realize when they're far, I'm not as involved with them, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to be.
Of course. It's a different time zone, different country.
Different everything, you know.
Different
continent. You don't know what the hell they're doing, you know. You can't get involved. So that's that. You know, I just wanted to say on 50 Shades, Dakota Johnson, I think she was perfect for the role. Didn't you think so?
Yeah. I think she did a great job with it.
Yeah. I know. I guess we did talk about this, that he wasn't... I felt he wasn't the perfect one, but you said you don't think he should have been that dominating in real life or in his regular life.
I don't think he should have been, like, as obviously dominating.
Right.
It's like his shame or his secret. So it has to be a secret.
Right.
He can't just walk around looking like a guy that dominates people.
That's true, yeah.
He does in business, but he does it so subtly and you expect it because he's also a genius. So.
Right, yeah. And he did it so politely with her, with a contract and everything, you know.
It was like just a weird story, you know? Yeah. I mean, that poor guy, that's the way he is. So
yeah, I know.
He does the best with life that he can.
I know. And it's amazing that she went along with it, you know, until it finally was too much.
Right. I mean, there were holes in the story all over the place. But
there were, huh?
It was what it was. Yeah. And there's going to be a sequel, and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go see them just because now I need to know what happens, and I'm definitely not spending time reading the books.
Yeah.
So I can give it another 2 hours.
Well, you're going to have to wait, what, a year or two?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, movies like that, they can make in a year. There's no, like, special effects. Or
I'm sure they've probably started.
Yeah. Yeah, before this one came out.
Yeah.
Probably, huh?
Yeah.
They already have them all down, ready to go, because it's a built-in success, you know.
Right.
They already have the readers, so what the heck. But has she been on anything else? Did you see her on
any movies have before? No idea what else she's been in. I would guess she's been in things.
Yeah.
But I don't know what.
It's interesting how it kind of stays in the family, the acting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also a foot in the door. Like, you have all the connections your parents have.
Right.
So it makes life a little bit easier.
That's
versus
true.
Versus somebody that, like, is fresh off the plane and
that's
is like,
true.
Help.
And plus, your parents don't tell you go get a real job, you know, because
no,
they've been through it.
Right. For them, it was a successful business. So, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of families like that probably do say to their kids, like, you don't have to go into the business.
Right. Yeah. But they do, inevitably, I guess. Why not? Who doesn't want to be in acting, you know? And when it's made easier for you, yeah, take the opportunity.
Yeah, if it was made easier for me, for sure.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
You would do it. Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, life is all about unfair advantages, you know?
Hey.
Hey, you know, you get screeners for movies. You have unfair advantage.
I guess. I don't know that it's like, I guess I don't see it as like something that would be called unfair.
Okay.
Just I happen to get them, and I'm
all right because you know people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm also in SAG.
Oh, okay. So they send it to you automatically.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Even for the Oscars, if you're not an Academy member.
Well, I would. That's part
matter.
Of it. That I mean, is part of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm Screen Actors Guild, so you vote for all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what do you have to do to be on the Screen Actors
you
Guild?
You have to work enough to get. I guess not inducted, but
accepted.
Yeah, into the union.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's like kind of a grueling path too. They don't make it easy for you unless you all of a sudden like have luck and like book something that gets you SAG eligible.
Yeah.
But then you have to pay dues to get into SAG, and you have to pay them every year.
Yeah, so, that's what a union is.
I don't know that it's unfair because I do have to pay for it. So.
Yeah. No, that's not unfair at all.
No.
But. Okay, so you've done enough work to be able to qualify.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. Done a lot of acting, huh?
Yep.
Can we see your work anywhere?
Yeah, probably, but you don't have to.
All right. Well, okay, enough of that. Let's bring in our guests who are sitting here patiently. And we have a record producer, studio owner, Eric Lillevoix, right?
That's correct, sir.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much.
Of
good
course.
To be here.
And you brought someone with you, a handsome young man. Go ahead and introduce him to us.
This is Mr. Austin Colby.
How's
uh-huh.
it going?
Hi, Austin.
Good morning. How are you doing?
How old are you? You're pretty young, huh?
Yeah, I just turned 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you're already building a music career.
Yeah, doing my best.
There you go. You know, that's the way to do it, man. Don't wait till you're 40 years old, you know. You got to start early. Wow. What I wouldn't give to be 20 years old again, you know, to have my whole life ahead of me once again, you know. So the thing is that, and somebody's told me this before, is young people are richer than the richest man alive because you have time. You know, time you can't really buy.
Yeah,
so,
energy.
You know, when you have when you have more time than me, you're richer than I am. You know, that's how they put it to
talk
me.
And getting a little worried. I was like,
No, no, not at all, man. I mean, you should enjoy it. You know, this is the time of your life. You know, I have a 21-year-old son, and he doesn't even have any time for me. You know, it's just girls and his guitar. You know, that's it. So
not far
it's
off
a good
the past then,
yeah.
Yeah. So Eric, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
I work with a number of different artists in the studio. I own two studios, Crown City Studios in Pasadena here, and London Bridge Studio in Seattle. So I go between the two, and I work with artists on sort of developing their career and their records in particular, their recordings.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, why is it necessary to have one in Seattle as well? I mean, don't most people come here for musical careers?
Yeah, Seattle is absolutely has been kind of this beacon for years.
For music.
The early right. 90s. And the studio that I'm a part of is a pretty legendary studio, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden.
Really?
A lot of the bands that were recording in that heyday recorded there. And that's kind of continued. The Seattle scene is really vibrant and alive. But you're absolutely correct. A lot of people, most people, think LA is synonymous with making it and
right.
being in the industry.
So they make it in Seattle, then they move here, right?
Well, surprisingly, it's going the other way, too. It's shocking. But but Nashville also is notorious,
Right.
And is growing and is kind of seeing another boom as well.
Sounds good. Yeah. When did you get into this, into producing? And
I was about produce. Well, producing was a little bit later on. A musician, I started about Austin's age, actually.
Really?
I was in a band called The Days in Between.
Uh-huh.
And that was sort of the segue to working with other artists.
Cool. What did you play in the band?
I played guitar and I sang.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. What did you grow up here in L.A.?
I did. I'm a Pasadena native.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, very
born
unusual.
And Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know.
I'm one
and
of
you,
five.
Austin, were you born here too?
No, I was born in Arizona, kind of Scottsdale area.
Oh, really?
Scottsdale, yeah, and then moved out to San Diego when I was 15, so.
Really? Mm-hmm. With your family?
By myself. Imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
Why San Diego?
Very green to LA. I didn't know much about it. I just knew that, San Diego was the place to be. I always visited as a kid and was just like, that's just where I want to be. Did the whole beach thing for a little bit and
right.
realized I needed to head up north a little bit. So.
Wow. So your parents didn't mind you moving at 15?
Yeah. They just,
they did
know,
mind.
I was kind of a thing and just went ahead and did. And they just,
wow.
Not much they could do about it, really.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My story is my parents sent me here at 16, so I was like on my own. I was born and raised in Israel.
Yeah.
So they sent me here at 16, but I was okay with it, but it wasn't really my decision, My dad is like, go ahead and, move there and then we'll join you and things like that. But I would have never thought, gee, I'm going to leave the house at 16 and go live in a new place.
Right. Wow.
So that's pretty cool. It takes a lot of courage, to sort of like grow up on your own at that age.
That's what I needed to do for my music, so.
Right. But yeah. At 15, I would imagine they wouldn't rent you apartments or anything. How did you manage to survive?
So I kind of got off the bus with $75 in my pocket, my guitar, and literally my bag of clothes, and was kind of busking on the streets, literally on Gas Lamp District, just playing guitar, all my originals, and getting money. And then I kind of lied about my age to stay in a few hostels. So,
really?
So yeah, living in a few hostels, lying about my age, kind of paying off the lobby person to kind of just get in. Been kicked out of a few of them. I was on the streets,
wow.
sleeping at train stations, and
so you got stories to tell. At 20 years old, he's got more stories than I do.
It's all in the music.
Yeah. So Eric, what was it like growing up in Pasadena? I mean, did you, because this was what, the 80s or something that you you don't
absolutely.
Seem that old to me.
Spot on. Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. In the 80s.
No, it was great. I mean, both my folks are from Haiti. They came over here in their early 20s. They moved to New York first, and then they came to Southern California.
Wow.
They actually came on vacation to visit other relatives and just, 2 days into vacation, went back to New York, sold everything, and moved to California.
Really?
And no more shoveling snow or anything.
Yeah.
coming from Haiti. So, but no, it was spectacular. I mean, I still, have some very, very close friends from the area. And
that's cool. Yeah. When you stay where you grow up, you still have friends from when you were a kid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is really cool, Yeah. When I moved here at 16, I had to leave all my friends, and I had a lot of them.
Yeah.
So then you have to start over.
Yeah, it's a rough time to start over. Absolutely.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have two older brothers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you guys get along and everything?
Yeah, we try.
Yeah.
we fake it in front of mom and dad for the most part. We're able to be civil for the most part.
Yeah.
No, I love them very much.
Yeah. No, it's cool. But some families, I always ask that, because in some families, people become like enemies,
Right.
And you go, why? I mean, how can you possibly do that? We are like three brothers, my two parents, and we never had any fight in the family at all. You know, never a time where people wouldn't talk to each other or gossip behind each other's back or be angry or anything like that, you know. So that's why it's hard for me to imagine. But right. You obviously had a good home and stuff. Your parents being from Haiti, I guess they're pretty, like, traditional.
And yeah, that brings a whole other element to the family, you know, really? The tribe. It's I had, you know, so many cousins around, and it was a big, big family gathering, so... It was kind of family always sort of came first. That was the mantra for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Most definitely. So we kind of, you know, it's really interesting when Austin and I talk about kind of our difference, the differences between our backgrounds, and it's a really interesting crossover point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings? Any brothers?
Yeah,
or sisters?
I got a younger sister and two younger brothers.
Really?
I'm the oldest. Yeah, they're all back in Arizona.
Wow. So a young family.
Yeah, still. I got a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good.
So your parents are probably like my age or something. They're 50s.
Yeah. Mom, 50. Dad in his, probably shouldn't say this, but dad in his 60s. Looks like he's in his 40s, man. He's
really?
Yeah, he's a cowboy, so.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And do you guys get along, too?
Yeah. Get along. My dad started talking to my mom again.
Yeah, so she was mad that you moved.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's quite a while not to talk to your mom.
Yeah, a little bit. She
was really mad,
going on.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm... Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of the opposite way.
Yeah.
I guess I was a little bit, but...
Yeah,
but it's all good, you know.
Yeah,
we're solid
I guess.
Now. Got to
yeah.
forgive and just, you know, move on.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, my God, people do a lot worse things. They
yeah.
don't, you know,
yeah.
but I know what you mean. My parents gave me a lot of silent treatment when I was a kid too, you know, and you know, I guess they don't know how to deal with this. You know, they don't know how to handle you, but it must have been difficult for you, right? I mean, your mom not speaking to you for a while.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of, yeah, and like I said, I guess it was kind of flipped the opposite ways because things at home weren't going on too well.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah,
okay, we won't get into
we
that.
We could throw it out there, you know, why not, right? I'm all out there, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you sing about it.
Yeah, I sing, yeah, definitely. But it's, yeah, it's just a matter of like, you know, verbally, I guess, abusive, and that's what made me run.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay,
yeah.
So you had a reason.
Yeah, I had a
okay,
reason.
Okay, so you see, here I pictured this whole beautiful yeah. thing that happened, and it's not that way, you know. Sort
yeah.
of like maybe you didn't have a choice.
It's a beautiful thing, though. Got me to where I am today, so
yeah.
I'm very thankful
yeah.
for it.
And you'll have a story to tell and a book to write.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's important to accumulate stories in your life.
That's right. That's all we got.
Yeah. So, Eric, you got into music early on in your life, I imagine.
I did, yeah. I started, you know, by telling everyone in high school I could play guitar when I couldn't, just trying to,
really?
You know, trying to get in a band somehow,
yeah.
some way.
and learn after.
And learn after. You know, got my first job at 15 and saved my money and bought a guitar, and it kind of started from there, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are the kids today that start working at 15? I don't see that, you know.
No, yeah.
I mean, I've seen people in their 20s, they're not working, and it's like, what, you know, how can you possibly survive like this?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's a different generation, you know. Wow.
Yeah.
So, now, so tell us what it is to be a record producer. What is it that you do?
I think it's talking over the sort of artist's vision, whether it's for a song or broader for their career, for a particular record, and trying to extract as much as possible, you know, the direction that the artist wants to go, and sort of help give them some guidelines to really get them to that destination. 'Cause
right.
it's, you know, it's yeah. it takes a village. It's the same
right.
thing as family. It takes a lot of different people in different areas to really guide something
right.
to be great.
Yeah. And so you sort of like oversee everything. You're like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you act as like... Just like a movie producer also, where they arrange everything. They're on top. They get
right.
the money together. They get the director together and stuff. But do you have the job of a like a director too? I mean, do you get involved... In every aspect of it?
Yes, I'm very involved in the creative aspects. As involved as the artist wants me to be. There's some artists that are, you know, have had a career and they are very, very direct on what their vision is.
Yeah.
And that's a little more hands off. That's a little more of a you know, organizing the situation.
Right.
There's artists like Austin that are developing who they are, what they are, and are looking for, you know, some help to navigate the waters
right
a little bit. And
So what's the nature of the relationship? You're the producer, or you represent Austin in a way?
I produced an EP, Austin's newest EP.
I see.
Yeah, it's newest EP. It's coming out. It's called Rebel. I guess hence, you know, running away. But and the thing about Eric is that he's, you know, he got the most important thing for me was having a good balance of what my life was, fitting that into the music, and then also, you know, stories as well, and then also kind of having the aspect that I have, which is like a fun upbeat dance kind of disco feel too. But Eric really got to know who I was, you know, to make this record. You know, we had a lot of conversations before we even dropped any tracks, where it was just him getting to know me. I mean,
right,
the way I met him was so random, but and I wouldn't have asked to have anybody else work on this, my, you know, my first record, I guess, coming out, you know, because he got really involved in, you know, in terms of like where we come from of working really hard to make something happen for yourself, and you realize right. that, and he, you know, helped, exactly what he said, you know, kind of help give us direction and help set things up, but also allowed me to take the reins and not be constricted to what he thinks I should be. Let me be what I wanted to be, but just make the best of that. And that's what he does amazingly. And I think for any artist to work with him in the future is going to be really lucky to, you know, to have him.
So it's sort of like you can't have an ego doing this, because you're helping them out.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And the intention is never to, you know, to sculpt something into someone that they're not. You know, for me, it isn't. I'm sure it is.
Right.
That is very much so the agenda of other producers out there.
Right. And not just producers, even in relationships, people, romantic relationships, people try to change each other and stuff. You know, it's like you got to let them be who they are and just make the best of that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And I think that's like Austin's a perfect example that, you know, his life, who he is, his stories, those are, that's strong enough. There's nothing that we need to craft.
Right.
You know, it's let's extract that and really dive deep into the meaning behind that.
Sounds good. So let's listen to some of the music. You guys sent us a couple of songs, and we'll start with your song, Eric. The song is God in Our Glass.
Yeah.
What is this song about?
God in Our Glass, I wrote about my best friend of 20 years who passed away. It's just a kind of a tribute to him, and you know, the thought that after he passed, I had, you know, all these, looking back at all these text messages and voicemails, and thinking about all the times that we didn't get a touch base, or I didn't get a call him back or something like that.
Right.
And so it's really just a reflection on, you know, on that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a listen. God in Our Glass.
On the day you were born, nothing else mattered. On the day that you died, it was the same. On a night underneath blankets and laughter. On a night when a heart lost a beat. Why don't you stay for just one more hour? Why don't we pray to the God in our lives? Why don't we say all the things that matter? We're always looking back, always looking back. On the days that we pray, we search for an answer. On the days we give in, ain't it the same? On a day underneath denial and waiting. On the day I got the call, it was loud and clear. Why don't you stay just one more hour? Why don't we pray to the God in our class? Why don't we say all the things that matter? We're always looking back.
What's the dirty little secret?
us one more hour. Why don't we pray to the God in our glass? Why don't we say all the things that matter? We're always looking back our way.
God in Our Glass, Eric Lillivois. Sounds good, man.
Really good. Reminds me a lot of Counting Crows.
Oh, right on. Thank you. Thank you.
It's a very good song. So I imagine you composed it, wrote the lyrics.
Yes.
Sad song, but, you know. I mean, it's... I usually don't pay attention to lyrics that much, but since you told me the background of the song,
right,
I was paying attention to it. And, yeah, it's pretty sad, you know, when you lose a friend. And,
absolutely. Yeah, but that's what music's here for, you know? It's not just... You know, sometimes you need it to dance on top of things. Right. Sometimes you need it to really deal with and soak things in.
So, right, and it touches you in so many different ways.
Yeah.
When did you write this song?
This song was written just shortly after he passed. So it's been about 2 years since it was written.
2 years?
And it was just recorded last year.
Oh, I see.
Late last year, yeah. This is part of my latest record coming out called Salt, Sea, and Smoke. And that's coming out in April.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're wrapping it up now?
Yeah. I broke it up into 3 EPs, and I've been just kind of slowly, you know, streaming them online, and then the full record will come out in April.
Wow, that's cool.
Cool.
You see, now it's all this technology has made it easier for people. It's empowered people to do things that they couldn't otherwise, you know.
Definitely.
Like distribute your music, for example, you know. Before, you needed a record company. If not, you're out of luck.
Right.
You know, today you just put it everywhere and people can listen. Yeah. And it's cool, you know, easy access to your music.
Yeah, there's an enormous opportunity for artists to, you know, to take the reins and just... You know, work hard and do it themselves.
Right. Yeah. And then at the same time, though, you guys have to deal with piracy and things like that, you know, where people take your work and use it.
Right.
You know, without compensating you.
Right.
Right? People do that.
Sensitive topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. A charged topic. Yeah. I know, but I mean, I know how musicians feel about it, and, you know, they have a point, I think.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I mean, there's both sides to the argument. We won't get into that. But, I did want to ask you, how did you become a producer? I mean, you obviously started working with some big names and everything. How do you start something like that?
It was just a pretty natural transition from being in bands, and I was kind of constantly in the studio and started learning a lot, soaking a lot up from other engineers and producers that we were working with as a band. And then that sort of led to, as I started doing more and more on my own, bands coming to me and saying, you know, can you help us? Can you help us do what you're doing?
Right.
Yeah. So it was just, it was a lot of long, long hours in the studio over someone's shoulder, really soaking everything in.
Yeah. Now, I know starting a business and you have to, you have 2 studios. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to have people working with you.
Yeah.
You can't do it all by yourself.
Definitely. And that there's a big learning curve on that. I think, you know, it took a number of years for me to really commit to building a team.
Right.
And now that I have it, there's no turning back. I have some really strong people around me, and both in Seattle and Los Angeles, and that's you know, priceless.
Yeah. That's very cool because you can't do everything yourself. You know, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
That's the same reason why an artist works with a producer. You know, an artist needs somebody, you know, or a manager or any of the different people within their career. You need a team of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and how long ago did you guys meet and start collaborating?
Eric and I met about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about a year ago.
We started working on the record in August, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In August. And from the time we met about a year ago, or almost a year ago, to August was a lot of, you know, talking, getting to know each other, knowing the direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So, are you, like, prepared to handle success and everything like that? I mean,
I really believe so. I mean, kind of what I've had to do and how I've had to work for everything I wanted to, you know, do and get on my own, you know, I think really has prepared me for what's to come. And honestly, the only thing I really strive for is just to, I mean, I strive for a lot, but my main thing is just to, when I get up on that stage, it's incredible, you know, and that's really what I live for. And sounds cliche, but it's truly like the only, like the peak, no matter where I'm at,
right.
You know, just to play.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you just don't feel you could do anything else other than being a musician.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's nothing else.
Right. Well, let's listen to one of your songs. It's called Lips.
Change the tone a little bit.
Yeah. So that's a different style.
Yeah. Different style. It's a mix of kind of a lot of my influences, kind of like funk, rock, pop. So it's, you know, it's interesting and it's fun. This is them.
Do you compose your own music too?
Yeah, write all the music and lyrics to my own stuff.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's listen to Austin's song, Lips.
Well, I've been holding myself down from getting too far up off the ground, and I found the thoughts in my head, and you found your way to my bed. Oh, and three sheets to the wind, and I don't know where I've been, but the clues around me say that you just came to play. Oh, and I don't know where you've gone, but you left your pink list on. Codes beyond a woman, you now body's on my way, lay right down. Now mine, oh, my mind will go away with you tonight. I will let it slide, I'll let it slide. Just for tonight, for tonight, for tonight. Ooh, how waves my necklace side. Ooh, how waves eyes breathe out on my neck. And I wish it was
I like this song, man. It's really cool. What do you say there? Your lips are my necklace?
Yeah.
Really?
Your lips is my necklace. Wow. Yeah.
That's kind of like a torrid picture, isn't it?
It's a very provocative song, but it's touching into my...
What does it mean, though? I mean, what does it mean? It's not like you take women's lips and put them on a necklace. Or
no, it's when that feeling...
You're not a serial killer.
Yeah.
It's when that feeling that I'm sure you know, Jen. It's just, you know... When a man or a woman, either one, just kisses you on your neck, and that was, one of my first, I mean, I wrote that song when I was 15, so it was one of my first,
last week.
I guess one of my first, you know, I guess sexual experiences where I don't know, I love the feeling, and it just led to a lot of emotion, a lot of nostalgic thinking, and I came up with a...
Very cool.
Yeah.
Look at him, 20 years old, he's thinking nostalgia already.
I know, yeah.
It's actually a song on my new record, so.
People grow up so fast these days.
Nostalgia, right? It's good.
Good. Well, we're still talking to Austin Colby and Eric Lillivois. And Eric is a record producer. What else? What other titles do you go by?
Oh my gosh!
You're a recording artist. I mean, you have your own song.
Recording songs. Artist, engineer, producer, father, guru, husband.
Yeah. Cool.
Guru.
Occasional guru.
He doesn't title him that. I title him that.
And I also work with Make Music Pasadena. I'm the talent buyer and curator for the festival there. It's the largest West Coast festival.
Really?
Free festival.
When do they hold that?
That's in June. That's coming up on June 6th. And, that's across the Playhouse District and Old Town Pasadena.
Yeah,
I went 1 year.
Did you?
Like 2 or 3 years ago. I think my friends Milo Green were playing.
I saw that. I was probably in the crowd with you.
Milo Green is great. I love that band.
I'm seeing them Thursday. My one of my best friends is dating one of them.
Oh, all right.
There we go.
Very cool.
Yeah. That was a fun festival.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's been, the organizers have done such a great job over the years. And I started out assisting Krishona Mayo and Josie there, and it just giving suggestions, and that kind of led to a broader role. And last year I curated and booked the whole festival.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So now, do you have to have an agent also, manager, or at this point you just work with Eric?
Do I have to right now? No.
Right.
Having one, that'd be be good.
So Eric, so you help him with the promotion and the marketing of the music as well at this point?
I help connect some dots for him. I'm not the boots on the ground daily for that. But I do help connect him with people on my team and help find other people to expand his team.
Yeah. Boots on the ground stuff's normally, kind of what I do.
And
take charge of everything. So
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. So
it's fun.
So now, where can people find your music?
They can find it on SoundCloud. They can find it on iTunes. Lips is up on iTunes. My EP, Rebel, is going to be coming out soon on SoundCloud. I'm going to release it on SoundCloud. And then it'll also be available on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all that fun stuff.
How many songs are on the EP?
It's going to be five.
Oh, five
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, five songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's... No two songs sound the same, and it kind of is a good mix of all kind of emotion. So
right, I was going to ask you, because people don't listen to radio a lot, and do you think that what's a good way to succeed with the record, to make people know about it, Eric?
It is just about being relentless as an artist, Austin's playing a lot of shows, for example.
Yeah.
You tell them about some of the shows that you're playing.
I'm playing The Mint actually this Thursday, 8 o'clock. And then I'm playing, I've been kind of doing a little LA tour, playing The Mint. Then I'm playing Los Globos on March 4th. And then I'm playing a trip in Santa Monica on March 12th, Thursday.
Cool.
So yeah, this Thursday though at The Mint, I'll be played a few shows there. We're going back there and gonna have a lot of fun. So
cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a band, or is yours like a solo act?
No, yeah, I'm a solo artist, but I have a great backing band of guys that I met in music school that have been playing for me, and they're all great, funky, fun group of guys. So they really know what they're doing. And honestly, what I say about my music is that it's got to be the same, if not better, live than it is on the record. I mean, what on the record is all live musicians, no auto tune, no anything, just guys playing it how they should, you know?
Yeah.
Making real music. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good. So it sounds like you have a quite a career ahead of you. And so now, but I mean, do you guys go for like radio airplay too? I mean, is it still possible to get airplay for unknown musicians?
Yeah, most definitely. I think what I was speaking to earlier about the opportunities for unsigned musicians now, I mean, it's very, there is a lot of access, you know, through social media and also just through direct contact with a lot of these outlets.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's just about, you know, truly treating this as a career and professionally and being relentless about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what advice would you give to people that move to LA, want to get started in music and stuff? What like stands out in your mind that people should know or should do?
Don't, maybe.
Don't what? No.
Don't move to LA.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No. I'm joking. Yeah. I mean, honestly, start something in your village first. You know, work at your craft and just work really hard. Don't expect that if you come to Los Angeles, you know, magically these doors are going to open and everyone's going to have contracts waiting for you. I mean, it's just not reality.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
You have to be really good. You have to stand out.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, you have to promote yourself quite a bit.
You do, and you have to work hard, and you have to be good at what you do. I mean, I think that's a, you know, there's a little bit of a sense of entitlement in terms of, you know, people assuming if they just do the bare minimum that they're, you know,
right, they're gonna make it big.
You gotta own your craft, you gotta work hard at it every day, 100%.
Yeah.
The bars are really high now.
Yeah.
I mean, and just out there in LA in general, like, you can't do anything mediocre. It has to be, you know, over the top or nothing at all.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think people just like you know, decide one day, okay, I'm a musician, and you know, but they don't do anything about it. You know, it doesn't come to you because everybody's looking for a few. Just there's only a few roles, just like in movies and music too. You can't have like, you know, a million acts that are all going to make it big. So everybody wants to be those select few, but you have to work hard to get there.
Definitely.
You have to stand out. You have to have people go, oh, I have to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if you are thinking you're going to quit school to do music because school is too hard, then you're going to fail.
Because
music or acting or any of those things are 1,000 times harder than any sort of traditional path. And the traditional path is hard.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Just imagine that,
imagine, you know, tenfold the amount of time, perseverance, and hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Austin, I mean, with your interesting background and stuff, did you get a chance to finish high school?
Yeah, I mean, I was when I ran away at 15, I dropped out. I got my GED, though, a little bit down the line, I got accepted into music school. And, you know, they just kind of, main thing was you had to, you know, be, you know, pretty good at what you do, but have a GED at least. So.
Right.
That gave me direction. I was never a school type. And I just knew that the thing that school did for me was just make me a better musician. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, drop out of high school, but.
And you got a band out of it, right?
Yeah, and I got a band out of it. So it was definitely worth the investment.
Very cool. So, yeah. And when did you move to LA from San Diego?
I moved up just after I turned 17. So I guess a month after my birthday. So it's coming up on about
3 years ago.
About 3 years since I've been here. Yeah. So
I
love it. Yeah. And it's definitely my home. Pasadena is my home. I'm in Pasadena as well.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So,
well, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Why don't you tell people where they can get a hold of you, where they can find you, social networks, any of that stuff?
Absolutely. It's all just under my name, Eric Lillavois, Lillavois, and the website, Twitter, Facebook.
And you can, under Austin Colby, Kolbe, and you can find it on, you know, Twitter, Facebook as well, austincolby.com, list of all my shows.
Right.
And that are tour dates coming up. And then, like I said, the EP will be dropped in the next week or so.
Sounds great. Yeah. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Give it up to this guy for, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm sure you've done a great job on it. I mean, it sounds like it. Were you involved with Lips?
I was, yeah. Lips was part of London Tone Music, a label out of Seattle. Uh-huh. It was 52 by 52. We did 52 songs in 52 weeks.
Really?
And Austin was one of the artists, one of the singles that was signed under that.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have finally anything to promote that we didn't discuss at all? Anything upcoming? I guess if people go to your websites, they'll know everything you're doing.
Yeah.
The social networks and stuff.
I got a music video coming out for Rebel, too. So for the it's going to be the title track of the EP called Rebel. And it'll be a music video coming out. So.
Very cool. Eric Lillivois, Austin Colby, thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Oh, thank you.
You're a lot of fun. Much success to you. And thank you for coming.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jen.
No problem.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.